Welcome to Digging Deep, the podcast where we offer brief advice for time-pressed professionals. I'm Heather Kreitley, second-generation field director and the president and CEO of GFDM. Today on our podcast, we have Bradley Jones, president and owner of Ridley Funeral Home. Brad started in funeral service in 1991 and started his career at Ridley's in 1991, bought the funeral home in 2013, and has done all kinds of really interesting things in the sector. The one that I enjoy the most, of course, is his podcast, Life's Undertaking, which I think you can find in any place where you can find podcasts. Really interesting stuff, really interesting discussions going on there. And also, interesting fun fact about Brad, he coaches basketball, married, and has six kids, a fact which I find amazing because I have two and I'm not sure how. So welcome to our podcast, Brad. We're so excited to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to our talk today.
Yeah, I feel like this, we're just starting in the podcast space and you are like a veteran with 60 plus episodes. So, you know, be kind.
It's easy. It's just having a conversation. That's all it is.
It's true, right? And so speaking of conversations, we are talking about digital evolution, how technology is transforming the work that we do in the sector. So I feel like I'm talking to the right person because you, I would say, are a conservative early adopter of most technologies. So as you know, GFD just did a recent study on consumer preferences. 56% of Canadians in all generations believe a digital tool is appealing for funeral pre-arrangement. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think?
Yeah, I think as we've evolved with computers in our homes and then computers in our hands all the time, people really want to be able to find the information their way. And their way is to search it up. Once they get to your platform, so every funeral home pretty much has a website now, and you know, most of us have had them for 15 to 20 years, but now every single funeral home in Ontario has to have their price list on their website, which makes it a lot easier for consumers to look at some things. But one of the things that we've been playing with at Ridley's is being able to pre-arrange online. On our funeral home website.
We also like full stop, sort of like everything?
Pretty much, yeah. They can go through a lot of the things, but when it comes to actually pre-arranging and prepaying and actually doing all the paperwork, and you know, we can even do it with at-need. We have a discount brand as well, and we've been playing with the platform where they can do it all online. They don't actually have to even come into the funeral home to meet with our staff or have our staff go to their home. It's been met with a little bit of success. It's still got some bugs to play with, but they can walk right through from the very beginning to the very end. Our staff will give them a call and you know, complete the paperwork and send them all the documents that need to be signed.
So we talked a little bit about this beforehand, about how it's almost like different, like digital enablement allows for different kinds of people to make decisions and plan in the way that they're comfortable with, right? Can you talk a little bit about your experience in that, the sort of human interaction versus those folks who are, you know, just fine, please just let me sign digitally, I don't even want to talk to you. How prevalent is that?
Yeah, I think it's still a small portion of the population, but what I find is funeral homes and funeral directors are slow to change. And you know,
so we are the ones who are slow.
Absolutely. Like I'm very conservative about it, and I still truly believe that it's the human interactions that you know makes us more relevant.
Do you think that's because of what we get out of it, right? Like if you think about, I think I heard somebody talking at an event one day, and they were saying like that the thank you and the warmness, the gratitude from the family is like the crack cocaine of funeral service, and that's what keeps us going through the. Right through the craziness of what it is that we do. So do you think it's more for us or do you think it's that families need that interaction as much as we do?
I think most families still need that interaction. And I think the last couple of years when so much stuff had to go online, people actually missed the human connections. So
really, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing the number, and you know, you're right. I think our directors and funeral directors, you know, do like that that hug at the end of the day when the family's leaving, and they really love everything you've done for them. But I also know that the family, when they're doing that, has got just as much or more out of it because of you know the experience that they've had. And any funeral home that you know just has arrangers, embalmers, directors, they say the same story that we hear. is families spend a lot of time with their arranger, and then they hand off to the director that's going to be taking care of them. If it's not done precise, it gets sloppy. The family's, you know, I guess contentment with whatever they've done is a little bit lower. If that handoff is done extremely well, then it's better. But if you arrange the funeral and you direct that funeral, you have that connection with the family. My mom died in 1998, and you know, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I called the funeral home in my hometown in Hamilton and spoke to a director, and I said, you know, one of my coworkers is coming to help me do the transfer. Can you just have someone open up your building and we'll bring my mom in and we'll come back in the morning to do the preparation? And she said, no, it's okay, I'll meet you. And, you know, got to their funeral home around 3:30, 4 a.m. And she opened the door and we brought my mom in. And then she said, you know, if you want to stay and do the preparation now, you're more than welcome. So we stayed and we did the embalming. And on the day of the funeral, she was there during the visitation, the day of the funeral, the owner of the funeral home came on the funeral for my mom and sent her on another funeral. And when I was talking to him, and he, you know, introduced himself, and I said, you know, that's really too bad, because, you know, my relationship is with, you know, Kim, and it's too bad that she can't be here. And like, that was me, you know, thinking about this. That was my immediate reaction, because that's who my human connection was with.
Well, and what more of a bond can you have with someone that they're there to help you, help be there and support you through embalming your mom? I mean, like, that is something that is probably most people never experience, that kind of a bond with somebody else, right?
Yeah. So I look at that and I realize, you know, the human connection is so important. We, you know, we do a lot of things digital. We have, like every other funeral, on the online, you know, live streams. We do, you know, everything that every other funeral home is doing. But we don't have monitors in our arrangement offices. It's still pen and paper.
Yeah.
You know, we still actually have a selection room. I know we're becoming more and more of a minority in that. But I still think
so. You still have like the full room with full caskets.
Full room with the full caskets. You know, we do have the ability that if someone doesn't want to go into the room or is unable to, you know, come in, that we can do it with digital.
Yeah.
So we're not, you know, adverse to digital, but we find that especially with at-need, there's more. You know, more need for the hands-on. Now, when we go to pre-need, our pre-need director is really great with digital.
So it's almost like a different. There's a different way that you have permission to communicate with those people. Right?
And I think people, when they're looking for themselves, it's a little bit easier for them to look digitally or to do things a little bit more online than it is when it's an at-need. So, you know, and talking about pre-need, I think the digital is such an amazing tool for families, because those are the families that actually have the time and they're not rushed. So they can spend the time, you know, going from, you know, website to website to website. So when they actually come into your building or you go to their home, they've got a greater understanding than when I used to do pre-arrangements 30 years ago, 25 years ago, because back then people didn't have a clue what was available. Other than, you know, they remember arranging their dad's funeral in the 1970s.
Well, and I think it sort of helps people get that education piece before, is what you're saying, right? And I remember back when I was doing pre-need, and you know, it was usually like 7 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night pre, and the families would come in, so are you thinking about burial or cremation? I don't know, I have no idea, what's the difference, right? And it's just such a massive amount of education. And I think that's the challenge today, is there's so many choices, right? Like, if you think about funeral service back in my dad's day, it was go in, pick your casket, and then that's everything that you have. Whereas now there's just so many choices. Do you think that you would, if such a thing were created, maybe it exists today, if there was a digital tool that would kind of prep families before they come in for at need, or do you feel that that's just like a little bit too impersonal?
No, I think that would be great. You know, pre-need is such an easy time to educate people. You know, you can actually, you know, give them all kinds of different options. You can have those conversations. You can meet with a family 5 times in a month, you know, before they finally make a decision. Whereas at need, it's hard to educate people on what's available to them, because, you know, they're in a state that, you know, they're not thinking properly. They have an idea sometimes of what they want when they come in. And I think they're a little bit more guarded. We talk about this at our funeral home. You know, you have to offer a family a cup of coffee 3 times during an arrangement. You know, when they first walk in, it's whether it's a pre-arrangement or an at-need arrangement. You offer them a cup of coffee, they 9 times out of 10 say no, because they don't want to trust you. You offer it to them one more time.
Yeah.
Offer them one more time when you have to go leave the office for something, and they sometimes will say yes, but a lot of times they'll still say no. The third time you offer them that cup of coffee, they're always almost saying yes. Because now they've got a bond with you, they've got a trust with you, and it's like, okay, you know what, I'll take your cup of coffee because I don't think I owe you anything if I have it. So
that is so fascinating. So if anyone is listening to this who is not from our world, who's not from the funeral world, like really, this is how deep we look into human interaction. A cup of coffee, declining a cup of coffee is not about the cup of coffee, right?
Yeah.
Like I challenge anyone to find a profession where there is that much thought and insight into very basic human interactions, right? Like I'm sure if you're going, no offense to lawyers, but I'm sure if you're going to the lawyer, you know, they're not thinking about what declining a cup of coffee means. That is brilliant. That's amazing. Okay, let's dig a little bit into generations, a shift into generations, because you have, I think, two kids that are going into
One that's working with us now.
Your daughter, Jessica, and your son is Tyrell.
So Tyrell's working with us now, and Jessica's still got a couple more years of college in her business program before she can go to Hamburg.
So how are they looking at all this? Because you're looking at digital transformation, and I say you're an early adopter, you're more open than most in my experience. How are they looking at it? Because they're coming from, they're digitally native, right? Are they like looking at you and saying, oh my gosh, you're such a dinosaur, we need to change all of these things? Or are they understanding? Because Bill Denning and I were just talking about how when you're coming into funeral service, it's so important to listen to the folks who've been, you know, don't throw away everything that we've been doing for the last, you know, number of decades, because that human interaction piece is so important. But how do they look at it? Are they like challenging you on how you go about doing things?
All the time. Not just them, even our young staff. You know, they want us to... to adopt a lot of the things that they think are important. So it's always a discussion of how we're doing things and, you know, what works. And, you know, we're willing to try things, because I think when you try things digitally, you know, it's not changing things dramatically. You're not going to lose $100,000 because you tried something digitally. You know, you might
That's
throw away...
That's a really
away,
great point, right? Like this whole idea that you can just try something.
Yeah, it might cost you $5,000 to build a platform, right? Yeah. But like, how many times does a funeral home spend $5,000 on something that, you know, a couple church trucks? So to try something out for $5,000, you know, it's not going to deter anyone else from coming to you, but it might attract some new people that will come to you. You know, the families that you're serving because of your human interactions, because of, you know, where you're located, you know, the services that you provide in your community, they're still going to come to you. But if you add the element, it's not like you have to take away. And that's what everyone always thinks. Well, if I do this, I can't do this anymore. And it's like, well, why can't you do both?
If I have a digital tool, it means that people don't want to talk to me anymore, right? Or they're rejecting what I have to offer. That's not the case. It just enhances.
How many funeral homes, when they first opened up, didn't have a telephone because they didn't have a telephone, right? They would just have people walk in their door. Did they, you know, not want to have a telephone? And then when they added a telephone, you know, you couldn't have someone leave the building all of a sudden because you had someone that always there to answer the phone.
If you have a website, no one's going to call us anymore. And that's like the worst thing ever.
Correct, right?
It's so true.
You know, the worst thing about funeral home websites is it kills the obituary pages in the newspapers.
Yeah.
That's about the only bad thing I can say about a funeral home website. Yeah. But all these tools just add to...
They're being killed anyway. So
they are. Whether
you or someone else.
Yeah. But we're just adding tools for a family, right? So what's wrong with giving them extra things to be able to, you know, get the services that they need? And just because we need to do something the way I want to have it done, doesn't mean I'm right. You know, funeral service has changed. You know, it's grown, it's developed, it's, you know, not the same as it was when I first entered the industry. And I remember when I first started working back in the mid-80s at a funeral home in high school, and, you know, the biggest concern was cremation. What are we going to do about cremation? So I look at that as how we do our business and the type of services we provide. It's always evolving. And if you don't evolve with it, you're going to get left behind. You know, you and I can look at across the entire province and see the funeral homes that are no longer there.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because they didn't adapt.
Yeah. So I don't know how the time goes so fast, but we are getting near the end of our podcast. So we're going to do a lightning round here. Okay.
Sounds good.
So I can put you on the spot. Two biggest challenges that you had to overcome in the last, I'm going to say, because obviously we have COVID, so COVID is a big one, but I'm going to say post-COVID or throughout that period, but COVID's not a permitted answer. We're not going to let you get away with that. What are the two hardest challenges that you've had to face at your business?
So I guess the first hardest challenge that we had to face, and it was post-COVID, is because during COVID, we just decided that we're going to serve one family at a time. And you know, so the family would have our entire building, our entire staff's attention. And we found that families really, really like that. But our business is growing, so it's getting harder for us to do that. But you know, it's amazing how many times we sit with a family and we say, you know, we can do your visitation. You know, today's, you know, Tuesday, but we can do your visitation on, you know, Monday next week. And they look at you like, well, why so long? And then when you explain to them, well, you know, what we're trying to do is have you have the entire building to yourself, all of our parking, because, you know, we're a fairly small funeral home. We're not, you know, massive.
We're in a big urban area.
We're in a big urban area. We have parking for about 45 cars. So if I have three families in, there's not a lot of parking. But if I have one family in, they have a lot of parking. They have a nice big building. They have all of our staff. And that helps us compete against some of the bigger boys out there that have, you know, four or five visitation rooms, you know, 300 car parking. But when I say to families, well, you can go there, but you're going to be sharing it with five people, you know, five different families. When you come to us, you're only sharing it with, you know, yourself. So that was, you know, one of our biggest challenges, how we're still able to provide that.
What if even just a philosophy, like a guiding principle for your organization? We serve one family at a time. That is, that is profound, I think.
And then I think teaching the new people that are coming into the industry is the other thing that's been our biggest challenge, because you and I have just said the exact same thing. Serving the family. You know, when we talk about the services that we provide, how do we talk about our families, right? We don't talk about members. We don't call them clients. We don't call them customers. We call them families. And I think that's what differentiates funeral service from any other industry out there. And young people don't have that same connection to family. Like, they don't have dinners together like we used to. They don't, you know, do a lot of things. There's a lot of times, you know, they get their food, they go to their room. They're on their computer. They're on their television in their room. You know, so being able to like explain to them that, you know, the family that we're serving is kind of like our family for that time. You know, we're going to take care of them like you take care of your family.
What do you do when that means something different?
It's education.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, educating for pre-arrangements is the same thing. So there's a lot of education and bringing in new young staff, because, you know, my generation, a lot of us grew up in a church. You know, we had an understanding what churches were like.
Yeah. We knew the rituals. We knew the
You know, whereas in the new generation coming through, they're great digitally. They're great with all the gadgets. But the actual rituals of a funeral, you know, that are being celebrated for people that are in their 80s, they don't quite understand it. So there's a lot of education with that. So those are my two biggest challenges.
Interesting. Okay, since we are talking digital, top two digital tools that you brought in the last 5 years.
So the online arrangement. That was one. And I guess the other would be, you know, and again, I think it goes for me trying to be connecting with our community is our podcast. You know, it is digital. You know, it's, I'm not actually in someone's living room talking to them, but, you know, they've got their headphones on when they're going walking their dog and they're listening to Life's Undertaking. And, you know, we do a lot of work just promoting that in our local community. We don't care if someone in BC listens to us, or I'm not interested in actually getting the funeral industry listening to me. I want people in, you know, Southern Etobicoke, you know, listening to my podcast, because what it's doing is it's teaching them who we are, what we do, and how human we can be.
Yeah. And you do that so well in the podcast. Like, I mean, kudos to you. It's wonderful.
No, thanks. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So this concludes our podcast. I just find that this time goes so fast. But thank you so much for being with us. We so appreciate you joining us today. And if anyone who is listening does have a chance, please take a listen to Life's Undertaking. It's fabulous. So Brad, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My name is Heather Kreitley, President and CEO of JFD.